Hello, today is August 18th, 2022. Welcome to Everstream's client-only special brief, Understanding Europe's Energy Crisis. Today's brief is designed to give you insights and more detail on how the European energy crisis may impact your global supply chain network. Joining us today is Daniela Baron, Intelligence Solutions Consultant based out of Cologne, Germany, one of my favorite cities, by the way. We also really want this brief to be as interactive as possible, so please submit any questions in the GoToWebinar widget. We'll get to as many as we can once Daniela is finished. So with that, Daniela, over to you.
Thank you, Leslie, and good morning and good afternoon to everyone on the call. So today I'll be walking us through the latest developments in the energy crisis in Europe. First of all, I'll give an overview of the latest disruptions to energy flows in the region. And then secondly, I'll provide a brief snapshot of some of the most recent government measures to address the crisis. And then afterwards, I'll turn it back over to Leslie for the Q&A session. So why don't we start by talking about the most recent events impacting the energy flows first. So the status of gas flows from Russia has been making headlines for weeks and will very likely continue to dominate the conversation in the foreseeable future as well. One of the most notable disputes concerns the Nord Stream 1 pipeline. So Nord Stream 1 is a natural gas pipeline that runs under the Baltic Sea from Russia to Germany. Its gas flows have been disrupted for weeks as political tensions over sanctions against Russia escalated more and more. And then following a complete shutdown for a scheduled maintenance in July, the pipeline's gas flows are currently only running at around 20% of total capacity, and it seems increasingly unlikely that the flows will increase in the near future. In fact, in their latest statement, the Russian authorities have again insisted that Western sanctions make the delivery of a turbine that is needed to complete the maintenance work impossible. At the same time, Siemens Energy, the company responsible for the turbine maintenance, as well as the German government, have repeatedly disputed these claims. And as a result of these disagreements, the turbine now essentially remains stranded at the Siemens production site here in Germany. And this is also where we expect the turbine to remain and for the foreseeable future. And then at the same time going forward, we also expect that the remaining gas flows via the Nord Stream 1 pipeline will remain somewhat volatile and could potentially dry up completely. Because in the past, Russian authorities have claimed that at least one of the other turbines that is needed to keep the pipeline running has defects and may need to be taken offline for repair works as well. So that opens the possibility to use that as a pretext to reduce the gas flows further in the coming weeks or months. So while a lot of attention has been given to the disruptions to gas supply, oil deliveries have also become increasingly unpredictable in recent weeks. The most notable event was probably the shutdown of the Druzhba pipeline, which is one of the longest oil pipelines in the world. So its southern leg delivers Russian oil products to refineries in Slovakia, the Czech Republic, and Hungary via Ukraine, while its northern leg supplies Poland and Germany via Belarus. And quite recently, supply via the southern leg was suddenly halted in early August due to a payment dispute related to EU sanctions. And while deliveries to Hungary and Slovakia resumed on August 10, flows to the Czech Republic actually remained halted until August 12 and effectively stopped the supply of oil products from Russia to the Czech Republic for more than a week. And although the supply has now resumed, at this point, we do expect that supply will remain at risk of further disruptions, mainly because Transneft, a Russian state-controlled pipeline transport company, has to pay monthly transit fees to the Ukrainian operator in advance to be able to use the pipeline. But the European Union has actually banned most transactions involving Russian state-owned companies already as part of their sanctions against the country. While transactions involving transport of oil and gas were exempt for now, there's obviously still the risk that as the conflict drags on longer, sanctions could be tightened and disruptions could arise in the coming months again. So now let's move on to the second topic I wanted to discuss today. So as energy flows between Russia and Europe remain quite volatile, a lot of regional governments continue to draw up emergency plans to try and mitigate the crisis impacts as much as possible. So here in Germany, the government quite recently announced a gas levy that will kick in on October 1st and that is aimed at consumers, and it is meant to help address the additional costs for utility operators to replace imports from Russia. Most media attention has been focused on the impact the levy will have on private consumers, but some regional industry bodies have also started coming out to say that the levy will very likely negatively impact business operations in many regions of the country as well. And then in France, although France is far less dependent on Russian energy imports, it is also continuing to face its own energy-related problems. So at the moment, more than half of its nuclear power plants still remain offline for maintenance. And at the same time, the recent heat waves that many parts of Europe experienced this summer intensified electricity demand in the country, but they also disrupted the generation of new power. So the state-run energy supplier, IDF, actually had to intermittently reduce output at some of its nuclear plants because the heat waves pushed up water temperatures in nearby rivers, and then those rivers could no longer be used to cool the plants appropriately. Measures are also being announced or at least considered outside of the European Union. So although Switzerland is not an official member of the EU, its government is currently considering to join the European Union's plan to cut gas usage by 15% in the coming months to avoid shortages later in the year. At the same time, in the United Kingdom, the government is reportedly working on emergency plans that could include power cuts to businesses, to consumers, and even rail services. And in a worst-case scenario, blackouts of several days may be implemented in January 2023. And then lastly, I do want to talk just briefly about Norway, which is one of Europe's most important electricity exporters. So traditionally, Norway has always been able to generate most of its own electricity needs from its hydro reservoirs, but was still able to export excess hydropower electricity at a comparatively cheap price. However, following a drier than usual spring, the water levels in at least some of these reservoirs dropped way more than they normally would. And the government has actually been under pressure to look into limiting the exports of electricity since last spring, and may choose to eventually introduce a new law that could limit exports if water levels really do fall to extreme lows. And then just to wrap this up, I do want to emphasize that most of the measures that I just described are proposals and considerations for now, but we do expect that as winter gets closer, that more governments will end up implementing binding measures to avoid domestic energy shortages in the winter.